Today's program is brought to you by Q Drinks, carbonated mixers made for your cocktail. Visit their website at qdrinks.com. That's Q, the letter, drinks.com.
Hey everyone, this is David Tatasciore, lead engineer and studio manager of the Heritage Radio Network, and I'm reaching out to ask for your support during our end-of-year fund drive. A contribution in any amount supports our weekly programming and our mission to make the world a more equitable, sustainable, and delicious place. Plus, you'll receive exclusive member benefits like monthly playlists, discounted event tickets, party invitations, and more. So, if you like good food and you love good food radio, throw a little dough our way. Make your gift at heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Happy holidays from all of us here at Heritage Radio Network.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, Souther. Hey, how buddy. You doing, buddy?
I'm great.
How's your week?
It's been awesome. Got to hang out at Speed Rack, do some charity donating, and drink some drinks, and watch some people make drinks real fast.
It was. Plus, I like how you said that really fast, too.
Yeah, well, that's the feeling that you get when you're there.
Yeah. It was a really fun time, man.
Plus, you and I hung out in the daytime before that and went to the Javits Center for the motorcycle show.
We did.
That was awesome.
Not before going to Finelli Cafe to have some bison burgers and some Guinness.
Sunday was like a really great day.
It was a great day. It was a really good one.
Yeah.
Speaking of great days. Today's a pretty good one, too, right?
It's always a great day at Heritage Radio Network.
Absolutely. We've got our friend Opie here, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about, well, charity and Heritage Radio.
There we go. Our Foley expert in the
room. Yeah. Speaking of giving to charity, so I'm here to talk about Heritage's member drive. So it's the end of the year. We're looking for people who listen to your show, who love your show, to help the network keep
Step
it going.
Forward, the three of you.
Yeah, you know, we want next year to be even better than this year. We currently have 34 shows a week, people with amazing passions like cocktails or farming or cheese, whatever. So many awesome things. And so we want to do more. We want, you know, the shows we have to be even better, more awesome hosts, more awesome guests, more awesome events, and, you know, exclusive things that only members can get into. So, you know, we want people to donate. Yeah.
Rad. How do they do that?
So they go to heritageradionetwork.org, and on the upper right hand of the screen is a little beating heart. So you just click on the beating heart, and it offers, you know, some denominations. Like if you donate $60 for a membership, you get a really cool pot holder. If you donate $120, you get a t-shirt. But it doesn't really matter whether you donate $60 or even $5. We think it's really awesome if people give us just a little bit. If you have 10 bucks every month you want to send us, you know, it helps keep things going and helps us grow and, you know, keep it awesome.
The programming you're enjoying basically for free, you should maybe pony up for.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, free it's for you, but it's not free for
us. We're comping the program. We just need a tip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, so go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to become a member or donate. And from all of us here at the station, we really, really, really appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
Really, yeah. Really, really appreciate
it. We want to keep doing this, so yeah, help us out.
It's the funnest part of my week. Please keep me in business.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for letting me come talk about it with you guys.
Thanks, Opie. Awesome. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, have a great show.
Yeah, and happy holidays.
Thank you. Yeah. Same to you.
Thanks
Cheers.
So much.
We'll see you after.
Cheers, cool. Guys.
And, yeah, I these are two of my favorite women in the world, actually, in the studio today. Opie's leaving, but we have introduced our guests.
The lovely and delightful Ann Robinson, a.k.a. Hamster Dance. who is now heading up. What's the title? I should have asked you that before the show.
Just head bartender.
Head bartender.
Yeah.
At the new William Vale Hotel's two properties, which are on the top floor and the bottom floor, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how to pronounce the bottom floor.
Luca.
Luca.
It's Luca on the ground floor.
But it doesn't look like it's spelled Luca.
It does to me.
Okay. And then on the top is West.
West Light.
Light.
On the 22nd floor.
Right. Not an outdoor bar, but a beautiful vantage point
terrace.
And a terrace.
Yes, there's a terrace.
And beautiful views, like all the way around, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's kind of killer.
And this is your first time on the show, huh?
It is.
Wow. Cool. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you've got this new awesome hotel that you're, like, these two properties you're taking care of and head bartending at.
Super fresh, right? Like, just opened.
Just opened, yeah. I think we're in, like, our fifth or sixth week at Luca.
We should go there after the show.
I gotta go to work.
Dude, you don't.
But we'll schedule it. I don't have to. Right, I'm the boss. I do what I want.
Yeah, you gotta come by.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm embarrassed to say that I missed your whole tenure at Little Park, which is also the same group, right?
Same group, NoHo Hospitality, yeah.
And same chef, right?
Andrew Carmelini, yeah.
So you're still crushing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Very, very different style at the hotel than Little Park, but still absolutely delicious. Luca is a very southern Italian restaurant. The name Luca is actually, I think, the southernmost city in Italy. Hmm. So that's where that comes from.
I should have known that. I look at Italy all the time. And it's various cities and regions. So what's the program like? What's your bar program are they similar or different?
You know, they're very different in many ways. I think that my style of program in general is fairly similar. I'm not doing anything too overcomplicated, trying to keep it pretty simple. I mean, there are the occasional, like, 8-ingredient drinks, mm-hmm. Sadly. I can't help myself sometimes. But down at Luca, it's definitely more bitters forward, which you're familiar with. Uh-huh. Yeah, so trying to really push all the different Amari. We do a Cafe Correcto service, which is very cool. I think that you would be very comfortable there.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of that is up at Westlake as well. But a little bit more of a fun take on cocktails up there. We have, like, a root beer float-inspired cocktail. We call the College Fund with, like, a trio of rums. Just kind of playing around with some tiki drinks, like more rooftop-driven concept.
Cool.
Like shandies and, like, we have a winter shandy on the menu right now with Amaro Chicharo, so that's up at the 22nd floor, but, you know, just kind of also talking about how we're still in the same building, still have the same interests.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. I mean,
Sounds like an opportunity to go hang out on the roof, have some drinks, then go down for dinner, then maybe go back up for DJ Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Is alcohol a elevator cure for vertigo?
Is an elevator ride? Yeah, alcohol cures everything.
Okay, cool.
And if it doesn't, then bitters do. So
yeah, right on. So with the, like, this is like your first, like, rooftop bar kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of lessons all at once.
Yeah.
Late summer opening.
So you've gone from being at PDT for a very long time.
Yes.
To, like, you know, a dark place with actually kind of similar taxidermy.
Oh, yeah, look at that guy. Yeah, I'm very familiar
as we have
with
in the studio.
having those guys around. Boar's head.
So what were some of the biggest things moving, like, you're at PDT for
About
a while.
5 years.
Yeah.
I was at PDT for 5, and then I was at Booker and Dax for a couple. Woo-hoo. And even that was a very different style, and I learned a whole lot, which I love. And then moving into Little Park, I was trying to bring a little bit of both of those styles to the program there. We, of course, weren't using centrifuges or anything quite as high tech as we got to do at Booker. But
did Dave donate a Spinzol at least?
Right? We're in talks.
Okay.
I'll just say that.
Me too.
Slowly planting the seeds. But the whole hotel thing, I mean, even though Little Park and Evening Bar are situated in the Smith Hotel, it's much, much smaller and a very different neighborhood as well. Tribeca is vastly different from the area in Williamsburg where the William Vale is right now. So that was a learning experience in itself, figuring out like what kind of clientele we're going to be coming through our doors. We get a lot of neighborhood people, which is awesome. And we get a lot of people traveling from Manhattan to come see us, which is awesome. We get a lot of the international crowd because we're in a hotel.
I think that's more and more common these days with Williamsburg being such a destination space, you know?
And when I lived here about maybe 5 years ago, it wasn't so much that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
you
cool
might
to see.
Yeah, you might stay in Williamsburg but then visit Manhattan. But now it's kind of, you stay in Manhattan sometimes and visit Williamsburg. It's, it's crazy switching its gears.
Yeah, we get a lot of people who are like, oh, so where are you visiting us from? Oh, Upper East Side.
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a day trip.
That's awesome.
Staycationers, man.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Well, I think that's, you know, we're super lucky that we live in a city that's really well connected to itself via public transportation.
Oh, yeah.
And it's easy to move. You know, people, I think, that don't live here, they look at the map and they're a little bit shocked. And, but, like, for us to live here, it's so easy to manipulate yourself through this town. And I think that's great that more and more people are coming. I lived in Williamsburg for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then finally, weirdly, got priced out and moved back to Manhattan where it's cheaper.
Yeah.
So Williamsburg is like the it.
Yeah, I'm in Manhattan.
It's the shit.
It's I'm doing the reverse commute.
Right.
Which I love it. But
gotta be weird.
I think there's really. I worked at the. Like, I helped open, like, Dirty French in the Ludlow Hotel Bar. It was. I took that job when I was working at ZZ's Clam Bar because I'd always. You know, when you read old cocktail books and just, well, old cocktail recipes, a lot of them are like, they're signature cocktails for a lot of the hotel bars from back in, you know, like the 19th century and early 20th century. And I've always, there's like a certain romance that is coming back to hotel bars and hotel, like.
I totally agree.
Drinking and dining as well. That has kind of left the, like, airline industry. It's kind of, like, turned from, like, because I used to say my favorite bar was, you know, whatever plane I was in the sky. And now it's like, I hate fucking flying, man. But it's really fun to, like, hang out at hotel bars. Because, like, there's so much consideration, especially after the kind of, like, the idea of, like, not having, like, you know, union waiters and bartenders who are just,
right.
they don't really give a shit.
Yep.
When you can actually have, like a private business in a hotel that you can just do whatever you want and actually care and, like, follow through with a real vision.
I think that's the big difference these days between newer hotels are opening up. They don't have to be affiliated with unions, which means that they can do stuff that matters and that they care about. And they can be current, they can be agile, and they can move with the trends.
I love when hotel guests come in and they sit down. This would happen at evening bar all the time, too. That was my first, like, hotel bar. It's such a hotel bar where it's, like, got this, like, dark, sexy, like, feel in the back. There's this fireplace roaring, and travelers come in, and they're totally shocked that they can get a really cool cocktail that's maybe a variation of what they drink at home, but.
Or even just a Negroni.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, that's the we reference it all the time. But that was the Dale DeGroff dream, right? He said, the goal of this whole revolution is just so that we can one day have a decent. It's very important to note that he just said decent, a decent Negroni at the Howard Johnson's in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
Like if we that'll be the win if you can get a decent Negroni everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. But we like especially here in New York, we're so far surpassing that goal, which is great, and things like this are great. You know,
I mean, it's actually
pioneers like the Nomad and even Chris Lauder, who jumped off to the Four Seasons in Seoul and crushing. Yeah. Like, it's making these hotels become destinations, and I love it.
I mean, speaking of like Nomad, the same group. I mean, you know, the Saguaro and like the Ace and like Palm Springs. You know, that's and that's been happening for a little while now. But like,
yeah.
And there's like the Swallow and Palm Springs, but like these destination spots where you can actually go to the bar or the restaurant in the hotel, and it's they're not destination spots, but kind of like just like outliers, you know? Like
I think it's just the fact that it's not a throwaway that makes it so nice. Like,
yeah.
It's not just like
it's not an afterthought.
This is exactly Like,
it's
this
like you're
is,
staying here anyway.
You're staying
you
here, so we
here.
Got this thing that'll, you know, sort of half-ass get you there, but, you know, you probably want to go somewhere else. Whereas now it's like, no, I'm staying here because this is where I want to go.
Yeah.
And that's great. Or at least you can say to yourself, I'm staying here because this has this great amenity. I'm going out to do whatever I'm doing, but I'm going to loop back here. Obviously, this will be my last stop. It's where I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I'm sure you're getting a lot of, like, accolades and real great business at the last one. This one's only been open 5 weeks, you said, so you're still just right in the beginning. But,
yeah.
Like, you're on the show because we've heard new. So much about you.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, dimples.
Yeah, so speaking of, like, the you know, Booker and Dax and PDT and these super iconic, like, pretty technical bar programs you came from, like, and then you said at the top of the show that you're kind of, like, figuring out how to create the programs at, you know, it's been, what, you said 6 weeks? Or
yeah, six? I think, shit. It opened November 6th, I think yeah. It was, at Luca. And then Westlight, I don't know, I'm a little brain damaged from it, so I can't quite recall.
That's cool.
But it was definitely the end of the summer.
It was back-to-back openings. I mean, you opened a little park and then got it kind of on its feet and running, and then they invited you over to do this, and you accepted, so
well,
you didn't really
yeah.
get a break in between. You said you went on a road trip.
I went on a road trip, and I came back and finished up my time at Little Park, and I had, like, a good ease into doing the hotel stuff. You know, I switched over to kind of a daytime schedule, writing training program, like documents, mm-hmm. and doing all of that stuff that is not entirely my bag, but
sure,
got to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then as soon as we started orientation, and like that actually took a little while because our opening got delayed for Westlight for quite a while.
An opening getting delayed?
What?
Yeah,
unheard
I know,
of.
Unheard of. But, you know, especially when it's a brand new building and it's a very large building and it's a building with, you know, not only retail space open is going to be opening, there's, like, essentially housing, you know? People have to kind of live there. And, I mean, yeah. they don't actually live there, but we're building homes for people who are out of town. And, you know, there's a pool and there's all these different things. We kept getting these inspections that would just keep getting liquor licenses delayed. So I had some downtime almost, even though I was, like, panicking about what was in the distance. So I had a little bit of an ease into it. And then it was just, like, whiplash as soon as
right.
Westlight opened. It was like, yeah. Go, go, go.
0 to 60, boom.
Yeah.
And how did the hiring go? What's the pool from which you drew? Is there a pool for hotel bar? I mean, I guess Nomad is out there crushing it, but like...
you know, I wasn't super involved.
Do you want crafty
involved.
Bartenders, or do you want
no,
like...
No, like a good balance.
Friendly, you know? Yeah, what's...
Yeah, you don't want a bunch of assholes walking in and like...
Wait, so I'm out. Okay.
Well, I think that it's always important to think about where someone's experience is, mm-hmm. and you don't necessarily need them to be the most experienced, like, veteran bartender when you're hiring someone. Like, you know, you don't know what kind of habits are going to be walking through the door, but at the same time, you want someone who understands hospitality and understands how to take care of a guest and knows some of the classics, and where there are gaps in knowledge, you want to be able to fill that in and help them out. So hopefully we're going to get, like, a pretty good education, like, program going for a lot of the team. We've been working at that.
I think it's an incredibly important and notable thing. Like, you know, we were just talking a little bit ago about, like, the advancement of the hotel bar and, like, how it's come back to be something that is, you know, it's like kind of like a romantic, you know, setting. And
well, the great thing about hotel bars is that they have. Because I used to work, when I was a chef, I worked at, you know, some hotel restaurants. And the thing that translates there is that there's a tremendous amount of budget that a standalone bar and or restaurant doesn't have. So suddenly you can be really beautiful decor, opulent, you know, light fixtures, whatever, all those little things that, you know, maybe a struggling sole proprietorship like you or I, that's you know, we have to really sit down and count our pennies, where these guys are like, yeah, we were at full capacity this week, so we have an extra 10 grand to spend this month.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of penny counting still.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's never beyond the, you know, you're not going to escape your auditors and your CPAs or anything, but, like, you definitely, it's not as, like we debate. I've been open for 5 years. This is the first year ever that we're going to have a vestibule outside.
Yeah.
And that little tiny 240-square-foot room in the winter, every time someone opens the door, it drops by 2 degrees.
Yeah.
And we fought it and fought it and fought it because we couldn't afford it. And now we're like, we've got the $2,500. We're doing this. You know, like.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah,
well. I was going to say that is a pretty cool point. pretty cool. Pretty cold point. Shit. I was going to say is over the past few years, I've hired quite a few newer bartenders. I think this is important to talk about.
Yes.
Newer bartenders who came from hotel bars, who got in to, like, this bubble of, like, the cocktail bartending world, from, like, going in and working at hotel bars.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you can't work at a hotel bar. Like, a good hotel bar, that is, if you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be able to talk, and this is...
Like, if you and I piss somebody off, they leave.
Yeah.
But if you're a hotel bartender and you piss somebody off, they're going to their room.
Yeah.
They're staying with you.
Yeah, they're still in your house.
They're still in your house. Yeah, exactly.
You really gotta be. Might leave against your choices, but as you might get fired, you know? Yeah,
that's right.
But, like, I think that it's a really amazing thing, because, like, one of the things when I was working at the Lolo, one of the things that really drew me to do that, I only did it for like 3 months or so, but the appealing thing to me was that I was talking to complete strangers. They're like no regulars.
Yeah, that's a little bit
most
weird.
Times in a hotel bar. So that moment is the moment, and you typically don't have a second chance to, like, you know, rectify a situation. If you're a bad bartender, then you're a bad bartender in that person's mind forever.
Yeah, don't.
You know, that's one of their experiences at the hotel. So, like, there's a certain mentality, I think, with a lot of the new bartenders that are coming up who work in hotel bars, where it's like they're conditioned to, like, you know, be able to talk about, like, any, like, current events or topics or sports or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe speak a couple of different languages.
Sure.
On top of their native tongue, you know. And, like, then moving into, like, the cocktail bars, you know, like, a lot of us work at, you know, they're already conditioned to have that level of customer service, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, the sort of on-the-job training that you get at a hotel bar based on the sort of rarity of regulars and the total influx of people from all over the potentially world certainly prepares you to work in a more sort of, like, intimate or whatever cocktail nerdy-ass bar like we work at.
Yeah, I think that as important as...
I'm always on the lookout for, like, what pool do I draw from when I'm going to hire someone next?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, I dipped my line out there into the barista pool for a while. Those were great guys, but they just get trained by me, and then they realize they've got now a new tool, and they go off, and they leave me. I'm trying to find people that I can keep longer.
Yeah, well, I think that what you're saying, Damon, is totally true. Working in a hotel, your level of, like, your sense of hospitality has to be that much greater. Even
sure.
though it's so big in a lot of cocktail bars, it has to be that much more, because you don't know who's walking in the door from what plane. Like, I don't know what their flight was like, but they're most likely very cranky. You want to make them feel good and at home, mm-hmm. even more so than just, like, being at a neighborhood spot. Although I've been really pleased with how much of a neighborhood spot it's been feeling like. We do have our regulars, like, already.
That's great.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a different, the sort of weirdly different angle that you guys have. I keep mentioning the Nomad just because it's an experiential thing that I have in my pocket.
For sure.
But, like, I feel like the Nomad, it draws an international crowd And maybe kind of that's it. I don't know that a whole lot of folks who live in that neighborhood go to that bar. But you're in a neighborhood that people live in and function in and are excited to have a new thing in. And you're drawing a crowd that maybe
flying
in from Dubai.
They've been watching that thing
get
built for the last 2 years. So a lot of people will just pop in and be like, what
curious.
Is this?
Yeah, what the hell happened here?
Like, I live around the corner. What's all this noise?
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys about?
Yeah, you're like,
am I going to like this or am I going to hate it? And I know that a lot of people, I think, initially hated it. They were just looking at it. They didn't get to come in and see what we actually do. They just see, like, a big new building. It looks like a fucking cruise ship from Miami just landed to ground. But
that's amazing. I wouldn't have even thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
They've been watching it for years.
It's just like the same anticipation I have every time I see a new bar or restaurant or even boutique or whatever opening. And it takes forever and there's, you know, paper in the windows. I'm just waiting and waiting. That's a few months. Yeah, I can't imagine living for a few years watching.
You can see this
thing
from across
the river.
Yeah. From the ferry. You can see it from, I forget. Yeah, from far away. You can see that thing from very far away.
It's big, is what she's saying. Yeah. It's big. 22 stories.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 23. We do have an event space.
Above
fully,
the bar.
Fully outdoors. Yes, there are a couple staircases that go to the 23rd. 23rd floor. It's an outdoor space. Like, killer. I mean, of course, it's a killer view at the 22nd, but... if anybody's looking to book a really bougie wedding of some kind, talk to our events department.
Yeah.
They will, yeah.
And it's fully outdoor up there? Is there a
it's
facility? Do you have a bar?
Right.
Do you have...
now, I mean, we aren't really working on getting a bar up there.
Yeah,
since
winter.
It's a little chilly. But, yeah, we're going to work on that. Get some...
Do people still hang out on the terrace this time of year?
They come up to me with this, like, fearful look in their eyes. Can we go outside? Well, I mean, yes, you can. We will not be doing table service out there. But, yeah, people still are, like, getting their Instagram shots in around, like, 4:30 p.m. Everyone, like, vacates the indoors and is like...
Catch the sunset, yeah.
Catching the sunsets are still, like, every day. It's something different. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, you can take your drinks out there
and when,
come back in.
When fair weather is upon us, you will have table service out there?
Yes.
Is it big enough?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
It is.
I thought it was just a walking terrace.
No. We've got tables out there. We've got couches. We have little viewfinders.
You can
look at the skyline and stuff. Yeah, you have to come by. But, yeah, this summer is going to be big time.
Yeah.
We really didn't know how busy we were going to be from the get-go. I mean, we opened on a Friday night, which already was maybe not the best decision. But, you know, we learned fast what we were able to handle and what we can't handle. So we're going to take all of that into the next outdoor season.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
That's amazing.
What are... Tell us about some of the cocktails you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
You told us about the root beer college fund.
Ah, the college fund.
Yeah.
So that one is done with the Banks Golden Age, Cruz and Blackstrap, and Smith & Cross. Just a little sneaky Smith & Cross in there.
Yeah, just to give it a little funk.
Yeah, little tiki bitters, velvet falernum, root beer, and cream. Cinnamon on top. Looks like a root beer float. You got a little cute paper straw.
Those
very
paper straws.
Very photogenic and delicious. I think my favorite one, which has been on since we opened in the summer, is a Dolores Royale, which is really funny because people are ordering it even more now because of Westworld. And they're like, oh, Dolores. Like, I'm like, no. It's here before Westworld. But it's a sparkling cocktail.
Over my head. I don't know what that is.
Oh.
I haven't seen it. I've been. It's on my list of shows to watch whenever I have fucking 5 minutes to sit down and watch TV.
It's fine. But people love it. I mean, the show. The drink is fantastic.
The drink better be fantastic. What's in it?
That one has... it's topped with cava. We've got a little mezcal.
Damon loves a Royale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mezcal
and cava? All right, now I'm in.
Mezcal, Amontillado sherry, a little of the Hangar One mandarin blossom, and are you picturing it? Apricot liqueur, lime, agave. It's pretty dry, but it's got, like, the fruit notes to it and the smoke and the nuttiness from that.
Super fun.
Sherry. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. It's kind of a crusher, yeah.
It's kind of a crusher.
What's your favorite thing to live around with nowadays? Like ingredient, whether it be potable or not?
I don't know. I was having a lot of fun with the whole Amari thing. Because as much as I love bitters...
Get off my yard, lady.
I know. I'm sorry. I really got to explore a lot of new ones that I had never seen before. Like, our beverage director threw a bunch of bottles at me and was like, here, play with these. And
wow, that's mean. It's been... throwing bottles at you? Should have kicked them out.
No, I dodged them. I was good. No, finding some cool stuff there. So that's been fun to look at. I don't know. I get this weird distant look in my eye and I stare at the back bar and everyone's like, oh no, what's she doing?
I'll
play with anything, really.
Let's delve into that a little bit. You were at PDT for 5 years. You were at Booker for two. I worked with you at Booker for a short moment.
Yeah.
And those are two pretty different styles. PDT has a lot of like prep work, a lot of like syrups, infusions, things like that, fat washing, et cetera.
Yeah.
Booker, of course, just insane with prep work.
Yeah.
And then you went off to Little Park, which is much more sort of relaxed. And then now you're at this. Where do you incorporate those and where do you leave them behind?
I find that at least with the like heavy prep work, try to keep it a little bit more minimal since it's such a big production, like such a big space and it gets so nutty and people are in and out. And I'm trying to ease everybody into it right now. But I think... PDT-wise, my influences show in that I'm looking at sometimes a little bit strange ingredients, kind of weird pairings. Mm-hmm. I'll sit down and taste a couple different things and write a little, like, flavor tree, like, oh, I taste this. And then that's when I stare at the back bar like kind of a crazy person and just look at each bottle, like, where would that one fit in? Or maybe there's this new ingredient on the market, can I get a bottle of that? And try some stuff out. I also have a very dry palate, which Dave Arnold makes fun of me endlessly about, because whenever he would hand me a drink to taste, I would say, I don't know, it's too sweet.
It's kind of sweet, Dave.
So whenever he hands me a drink now, he's like, I know it's too sweet, but just try it, tell me about it. So I tend to lean towards some drier stuff, and lately I've been trying to push the sweet thing. It's like root beer floats and...
Well, that's up at the bar, right?
Yeah.
So down in the restaurant, you probably have drier things.
I think
better with food.
Yes.
I don't want to have dessert in a glass while I'm eating an entree.
Yeah. We have some cool stuff down there with, what's a popular one? The Fellini reference. Which is another tequila cocktail with some Campari, Nardini, like really bitter forward, but sweetened up a little.
It's called the Fellini reference?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Good. I was already rattling that around in my mind. I was like, that's brilliant.
You know, a little allspice dram on there, so you get that wintry, clovey smell, but which is a thing I stole from PDT. I remember there was a drink. I can't remember what drink it was, but we were spraying allspice dram on it, and I thought that was the coolest thing. And then something I drew from Booker and Dax that I've used in the past at these places is acid-adjusting your orange juice.
Oh, yeah.
It's like my favorite thing.
I think it's the best thing that came out of Booker and Dax.
It's so cool. Because like whenever I see orange in a cocktail, I don't want to go there.
Nope.
Yeah.
It sounds flabby and sweet and weird.
Yeah. If it has orange juice in it, it's going to just taste like orange juice.
Yeah, unless you put lime juice in it, and then, okay, I'm also tasting lime juice, and I don't have the orange flavor, which I also, I guess, don't really want, but...
You want that flavor, you just want that flabby sweetness.
Yeah, so the acid, that's... Love acid.
Yeah, just for...
Hey, man, we all love acid.
For everybody listening, what she's talking about is the team at Booker and Dax. Were you there when that happened? That was on the orange...
Yeah.
What was it called, the Orange Julius?
Mm-hmm.
There was a drink on the menu at Booker and Dax called the Orange Julius where they... acid-adjusted orange juice to have the same pH level as lime juice.
Mm-hmm.
So you had this tart-as-fuck orange juice that still tasted like orange juice. And it changed the whole game of orange juice and drinks, in
like,
my opinion.
Like yuzu or like kind of like close to that?
No, it's still orange juice.
No, but I mean,
it just gives you that like...
But that, yeah.
In the back.
My mouth's watering talking about it. Like it made it sour, but still all of its orange flavor.
They also did it with grapefruit juice for a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
Which you'd think grapefruit's already there, but if you use different acids, too, they react differently.
Plus different grapefruits, pink versus white. There's lots of variation. I can see that, too. That, I think, is one of the more brilliant things that came out of the Booker Index pantheon.
Yeah. So once I get that spins all, fingers crossed.
Yeah, Dave. I'm waiting on mine, too. I don't know what I'll do with it, but I'm going to make some Clarify tomorrows.
Use it in your kitchen life.
That's right. I could use it
for
2 weeks'
notice. Take some
whey
out of some stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so you're having a great time. You're drawing from your former influences, which we all do, of course. Yeah. And it's showing up on the menu. And the big question, I guess, here, the big reveal, people are enjoying?
Yes,
there we go.
Cool.
Everything is not getting sent back, which is a super good sign.
Cool. That's typically a good sign.
Yeah.
If stuff's there. And what's even a better sign is if they order the second one.
Yeah.
Of the same thing.
Yeah.
Then you know they really liked it.
It's so fun when people get adventurous out of nowhere. You know, they have this idea of what a rooftop bar is.
They're at a hotel, man. They didn't get weird.
Yeah, well, you know.
Get a room, you know.
You get a lot of the, like, Tito's soda.
Bud Light Lime-a-rita.
Yeah, you get, like, it's very wine-heavy at Luca, so a lot of people wine, like, they have their wine. But sometimes they get a little bit adventurous. They see the stuff that's going out, and they're like, you know what, let me try a cocktail. What do you think? And then they're getting adventurous. It's cool to see people going from their Tito's soda.
How closely do you work with Andrew Carmelini and or the kitchen to make the drinks kind of pair with the food? Like honestly, if I came in tonight, which I can't because I work. Sorry, Damon. is there a dish that a drink is designed for or vice versa? Not the whole thing, of course, but like, is there definitely, you're like, I made this one for that dish?
No, not necessarily. I think that we find out after the fact. I'm useless in the kitchen. I just go in to like steal their ingredients and ask them where the microplanes are at and like, generally get in the way, but they're so sweet. Everyone, like, I'll bring drinks that I'm working on to the kitchen, either to AC or to Chef Rico or Chef Connor, and they are like endlessly supportive and helpful.
Right.
It's very cool to be like, oh, you know, like, this is very cool. This would be really good with that. And, like, I'm like, all right, give it to me.
Right.
Give me, like, where do I find that? Which refrigerator? Because we have 8 billion refrigerators in that building. But, yeah. So, pretty closely, I guess, leading up to...
So, there's a lot of collaboration between you and the kitchen, but you don't necessarily try and design drinks to meet food or food.
No. I mean, I'm definitely designing drinks that won't stomp all over the flavors of the food and things that will naturally go with them, but I'm not thinking of one particular dish. Like, I'm like, oh, the Malfedini. I need to do something that pairs really well with the broccoli rabe. And like, like, I don't get so super nitty gritty. But we've got like a spritz on the menu that could be really nice to start in the beginning. And then we have something done with like Great King Strength Scotch that would be really great with any of the desserts or even just on its own at the end. Like,
of course.
Yeah, things that kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I ask those questions because, of course, my background being in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and then my current, you know, dabblings in the kitchen when I do 2 weeks' notice, which is on the 18th, if anyone wants tickets, they're still available. but I think very hard about that when I do these things.
Yeah.
But I don't get to think about it at all because we don't serve any food at Amore for the menu. So it's like, that's lost on me.
It's cool. Well, I had never, done that before, but when I was jumping into the Little Park thing, that was my first time thinking about cocktails with a meal.
Right.
Because we always think about them as being before or after. It's like, well, what about the during, and can things go with your entree? Or
yeah.
Most people will go to wine. It's a very normal thing to want to do a wine pairing. But I think that a cocktail pairing is cool, too.
Yeah. What about you, David? You do any of that stuff at Grand Armory? You pair drinks with food, or you at least consider it when you're making drinks?
I consider it. I don't really. I'm same. I don't like make any one cocktail to go with any one dish. But like if we're doing an event where it's like a coursed out meal, then of course I will.
Yeah, obviously.
And it's not always a cocktail. It's, you know, just it can be like sometimes it's like a cider that's like,
yeah,
have this cider and this sherry like side by side for this one course.
Yeah,
as a pairing.
I love that.
Both work.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, but yeah, typically, I mean, they complement each other, but they're not meant to go with each other all
sure.
the time.
Sure, still stand alone both.
Because, yeah, at the same time, it's like, if I had a really, like, I don't like sour beers.
Me either.
Ugh. But, like.
Fuck you guys.
But hey, no. you dropped the F-bomb too quickly.
I'm sorry. Can we do that? Is that allowed?
No, we can say fuck all we want.
It's definitely doable.
Yeah. But, like if I'm having some, like fatty or rich dish that, like, if someone pairs a really crazy sour beer with it and it works with the dish, then I'm like, all right, I'm drinking this sour beer because it's working with this, but
right.
I'm not necessarily going to drink that sour beer on its own. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I totally get it, yeah.
Sour beer is so good with food, I found.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's the only time I really have it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm a big fan of situational eating and drinking. So.
As am I. We've talked about that 100 times.
Hey, so are you? You're behind the bar, right?
I am.
Cool.
5 nights a week.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So we
that's basically a lot of nights a week.
Yeah.
We can just pretty much show up anytime and you're there, right?
Yeah. It's hard to find me sometimes. People go immediately to the rooftop and they don't realize I'm downstairs or vice versa. Or sometimes I'm in the office.
I will not go to the rooftop
because
I have vertigo. So I'll meet you downstairs.
It's inside. It'll be fine.
It's not the same. So we're going to go check it out.
Please do.
Everyone go to see our good buddy Ann Remsen over at the William Vail.
Yeah, do you have a website you want to plug real fast, or do you know it? Do you care?
I don't necessarily. I think William
everybody's got the internet.
If you want to look at
everybody's
some,
got the internet, they can find you.
Fares if, or whatever you call it, like rates,
yeah,
room rates.
It's the WilliamVail.com.
Yeah.
The only William.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm usually behind the bar at Luca on Fridays and Saturdays. You can have the full dinner menu at the bar.
Oh yeah, that's my style.
Yeah, so
yeah.
And I'm off every other Friday and Saturday. Are you off this Friday, Damon?
Man, I'm never off on Fridays.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, come have some pizza.
I'll be out late, but whatever.
Yeah, what time do you guys close? What are your hours?
At Luca, I think on Friday and Saturday, our kitchen is open until midnight.
That's nice.
So that's kind of good. Westlight on the weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, open until 2.
Okay. That's
so great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, Friday works.
Those are some great hours. Yeah, let's maybe try and swing over for a drink on Friday.
Sounds good.
I'll come get you at Grand Army.
Sweet.
Hi, I'm Jordan Silbert, founder and CEO of Q Drinks. We're proud to support the speakeasy. At Q Drinks, we make spectacular carbonated mixers, crafted to mix with your favorite spirits. Based right here in Brooklyn, we're available nationally in 6 flavors, including Q Tonic Water for spectacular gin and tonics, and Q Ginger Beer for spectacular Moscow Mules. I started the company after a night in my backyard with good gin, really good friends, and lousy tonic water. I realized the world needed better mixers, so I made them. Q Drinks uses real ingredients, a lot less sugar, and a lot more carbonation. The result? Clean, crisp, spectacular beverages that bring out the best in your favorite spirits. Using Q Drinks, it's easy to create terrific drinks with just 2 pours. 1 to 2 ounces of your favorite spirit and 3 to 4 ounces of Q poured over ice in a highball glass. It's simple and spectacular. Q Drinks. Make your drink spectacular.
All right, we're going to wrap up this show. Great talking to you, Ann.
Next week,
we got another awesome person going to be in here who's involved in a new opening, Sarah Morsi. Currently, well, I guess formerly. I guess her last shift was like last night
last
or the night before. Mm-hmm. Was it last night?
Last night, yeah.
Formerly of Dear Irving, and, you know, same bar that we had Tom Richter in here. He works there as well. And Sarah's opening up a new project down in the Bowery, and she's going to come in and talk all about that. And possibly I'm talking her into coming over and doing a happy hour with you at Grand Army afterwards.
Killer.
So stay tuned for that. And we might be joined at the same time. I've got both of these ladies online. We might be joined at the same time by Kimmy Winkler, who is the New York City brand representative for Novofoco Cachaça.
And she's from Oklahoma.
And she's in Okie. So we might tie those two things together and do a Novofoco Cachaça happy hour with Sarah Morsi and Kimmy Winkler at Grand Army Bar after the show next week on the 21st of December.
Cool.
And we'll probably talk about Christmas.
We'll probably, you know what, we should probably make some eggnog or some Tom and Jerry's.
Ah, Tom and Jerry's. Sorry. I got really excited.
I was just thinking that, you know, they say that the sweet spot for aging an eggnog is 7 days. That's what I typically heard. So we could make one on air 1 week and then taste a week later.
I kind of like that idea. Also, you know that we tasted, which is a total side comment, but we can talk about this next week. You know that we tasted last year Nick Bennett's 2-year-aged non-refrigerated eggnog.
I survived that too.
Yeah. And we tasted obviously the year before that, the 1-year-aged. He aged more of it. He kept half of it and aged it for 2 years. Then he made a new one that's now a year old for this year, but he made enough to do a 2-year and a 3-year non-refrigerated aged eggnog.
He's trying to kill us all.
What a psychopath.
Super crazy. Anyway.
Cool.
What a great show.
Yeah, this has been fun. And thank you so much. I haven't seen you in a while, but I understand that you've been very busy.
No one's seen me in a very long time.
Yeah. Well.
But you can.
But now we can.
Now you know where to
fight. Now we know where to fight. All right, cool. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Until the next week, go check out heritageradionetwork.org for many programs like this. Click on the beating heart to donate. Now's the time of year for giving. You know what I mean?
Give it up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So until next week, I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And
am I supposed to say
hi? Yeah, you're supposed to say, raise a glass. Cheers.
Cheers.
This is the part where we cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.